So I don't know about you guys, and I don't think it's as much of a surprise, but I'm a big old snacker. I love a love a good snack when I'm like obviously watching a movie or just like hanging out, chilling at home and stuff like that. I want to know, what's your like favorite chip and dip combo? I'm going to go a little beyond the normal question. I want a chip and dip. Okay. I'll start off with mine. I really like Takis. I really got into them. Along with all the 13-year-olds, apparently. But I like to eat mine with like regular guacamole.
Just plain ass guacamole.
Yeah. When we get these, we get the like little like mini cups of guac. And so I'll get those and I'll get a few Takis and just munch away on them while I'm like watching a YouTube video or something like that. And man, that thing hits the spot.
Yeah, that's a solid pick.
Yeah,
I went back and forth on Takis or Takis, whatever. I went back and forth on those with Flamin' Hot Ranch Doritos, and landed on Flamin' Hot Ranch Doritos as our go to chip, and our go to dip is oddly enough it's like a vegan dip. It's like an almond vegan dip. But it's called Bitchin' Sauce, and you get the Chipotle kind.
Ooh.
Oh, I've got that.
Oh, man. Yeah,
the Chipotle Bitchin' Sauce, specifically with Flamin' Hots. Like, it's totally different with any other chip. Huh. But once you get that, like, hot chip into that Chipotle dip, it's like,
I will consume anything that has Chipotle in it.
Oh, yeah.
Chipotle peppers.
Immediately.
And my other one, the new one, is mini pretzels with... It's actually two dips, but you have to dip one side of the pretzel in one and one side in the other.
Okay,
so
all right.
There's like the garlic tomb, which is like a Lebanese... It's basically like whipped garlic and olive oil, basically. So it's basically like a garlic mayo, in a way. Definitely get it. It's Lebanese. And then another one called Soog, which is not Lebanese, but it's basically... a green chili and herb dip. So it's like lots of like parsley and herbs. It's just that's hearty good, yeah. Green dip. And it's really, really good.
I am pretty simple, my opinion. Like, hummus, great. Guac, obviously great. But for me, the best is just go to any really nice Mexican restaurant and just get their green, ask for the green salsa specifically with warm corn tortilla chips. That shit is addictive.
Oh, yeah.
If I could walk into the back and say, can I actually get like 5 gallons of that dip, please? Yes. I'll pay you.
So you got the main ones that I do like. It was a toss-up between two because I can't have one all the time. Otherwise, that would just be horribly unhealthy. But that is buffalo chicken dip with garlic pretzels.
Whoa.
Yeah. Using those flat pretzel chips that they have?
Yeah. But
they have the flavoring ones that's garlic, and then you dip that into the buffalo chicken dip, and that is, like, a wonderful combination.
Oh, man.
It does sound good.
And anything with garlic on it is a big hit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that's, like, you know, the richness of it, I can make it, so it's fine. But the one that I've been going to more and less often is just regular corn tortilla chips. You know, nothing's crazy, but mixing mild and chipotle chunky salsa.
Yeah.
And just doing that way because, like, I can handle the kick from chipotle, the chipotle sauce, but kind of, like, prolongs it so it doesn't eventually go, like, okay, this was too much later on in the night, and I'm regretting my decisions. It kind of waters it down, but, yeah, it's a nice, you just watch TV, just snack them, easy.
There's a Chipotle salsa I used to get at Food Lion. It's that and Sriracha, man. They just stopped carrying it. It pisses me off.
Really, Sriracha? I feel like that's popular enough that it would, like, be always...
No, there's a Sriracha shortage, man.
Oh, my God. I remember hearing about it, but I wasn't too sure
I think I check both Food Lion and, Safeway, I think it is, like, once a week to see if they got more in yet. I'm always disappointed.
I got my Sriracha back in 2021, and I haven't looked back.
I've tried the knockoffs. They suck. I don't like them.
You've tried other Srirachas? They're out there.
Yeah, I've had a couple of them. But just, I need original sriracha. That's my go-to for eggs in the morning. Makes me happy.
All of y'all listen to all these fancy, you know, dips, Lebanese, mixing sauce.
Dude, if you want to go potato chip and French onion dip, you can right ahead fucking say it, because that's a good dip combo.
Yeah, I have a D6 in my hand, because I have three top favorite dips, right? Okay. And I'm going to roll D6, and I will let the audience know which one. And if you want to know the others, hit me up on Threads.
Man, so traumatic.
At Dragon Punch Squad. Dragon Punch Squad. All right. Oh, which number was which?
God damn it, Tim.
This is not the first time that Timmy has said he's going to do a die roll and then did not designate which number was which.
All right. I think I had it in this order. It was Basic Bitch, Trash Panda, and then Maryland Boy. So 3 and 4 is Trash Panda.
Okay.
So my Trash Panda dip of choice is just Tostitos tortilla chips with Tostitos queso.
Man, you don't even go for the good queso.
No.
Nope.
You just get the jar and eat at room temperature.
That's why it's called the Trash Panda favorite.
I've given
Seriously.
Up.
I mean, hey, at least he's being honest.
they're on sale at Costco today, and we're really stocking up our food, so, you know, for future events happening soon.
Yep.
Which sounds very ominous.
Future events happening soon.
We're stocking up.
I've got extra ammunition.
I think when I was young, I used to do the nacho, the tortilla nacho, whatever, jar, and Rebecca has beaten that out of me. She will not accept bad queso. So it's like, there's like a part of me, Tim, that remembers that.
Tostitos.
I enjoyed it for what it was.
It was a more simple time for you.
Yeah.
It was the thing. Rebecca needs to remember her roots. See, Rebecca has matured and dealt with her childhood trauma. I'm latching onto it in the form of tortillas queso.
Yeah.
I'll never go to therapy.
So you keep talking about trash, like Panda stuff like that, and I know I brought this up before, but another one that I did as a kid definitely was Fritos and yogurt. So technically...
What?
Yogurt would be the dip.
what kind of yogurt?
Just regular vanilla or strawberry.
Okay. No. Fritos and strawberry yogurt?
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you were going to be like, I just squeeze out like 12 Go-Gurt tubes.
I've never had a Go-Gurt, to be honest. So.
I think I've had one once.
Whoa. Really? You never had a Go-Gurt?
Yeah, I've only had a handful myself.
Please. I know how to use a spoon, okay?
I have a funny Go-Gurt story. This is why this resonates with me. I was in elementary school, and my friend Jake... also named Jake, he was slamming the Go-Gurt tube on the edge of the lunch table, and given enough force, it eventually just exploded, and it exploded across from him, and then exploded behind him because of the motion of what he was doing, and so it cut Go-Gurt all over my friend Brian and all over whoever happened to be sitting behind him. So,
absolute legend.
So, and I was out of the blast radius, so I have very fond memories of that moment.
Hey, when was this?
Hell? Like elementary school.
Oh, that's awesome. Last Tuesday. I mean, at the lunchroom.
I'm 9 years old. It was last Tuesday.
Jake was hitting a Go-Gurt tube at work and splattered everybody.
Guys abusing Go-Gurts at school. You should smoke weed like the normal kids.
So speaking of splattering Go-Gurt tubes all over the place,
that's kind of what you did to the Raj Rakshasa's body. She is a heaping mess right now. But we ended the last episode with an epic chase scene, and by epic, I mean you guys had so much. It was more funny, actually. It was actually a very funny chase.
You know what this reminds me of, Jake?
What?
I don't know if you ever got to it in Bloodborne, but when you fight Mikolash.
Oh, yeah. Mikolash,
he's just going, and he's an enchanter. Like, he's able to jump through portals, and he's just like, just mocking you the entire time he runs away.
I never made the connection, but I'm definitely going to say that I did plan that connection.
So basically, to sum it up, he is a boss that... The whole thing is that he runs away from you. You have to chase him through this labyrinth level that mm-hmm. just is just like a maze and stuff like that, and he just keeps like doing. You find him, you hit him a few times, he just jumps away into a different one. You have to find him again.
Yep.
And, all, and you're like, come on, you motherfucker, stop.
he's also his brain is also like rattled with madness too. He's cackling
and the cosmos,
like, yeah, so. He's like taunting you the whole time.
He's messed up.
Yeah, he's not a healthy individual in the mind. Clearly. But we ended last episode with you guys almost catching High Enchanter Malus. So I want to paint a picture here really quick. There's a hallway down towards the bottom that you guys did not open when you came in the first time. So the door happened to be closed, and what that allowed was for Benson, Kezra, and Elkwood to flank him, and then Grimshaw to go to the other, to the door that would lead to the outside. As he was running and he was getting ready to dive, he saw his situation and he casted a spell. But before that, what happens is that Grimshaw and him, time seems to stop for you both. As it seems that the chrono worms that you both hold...
Wait, what?
Seem to allow this anime monologue between the two of you. And High Enchanter Malus just looks at you and goes, Grimshaw, you know that evil will not stop. Why do you try? Why do you continue to do this? We will all fail eventually.
Yeah, with that terrible attitude, we will. I think I'm just gonna lay down. Just let whatever evil wash over us as Galarian is trampled underfoot by slavers and oppressors. You joined the Crimson Briar, Malus. You know what we're about. You know the saying.
That might be true, Grimshaw, but I've seen the end.
Oh, have you? What end is that, Malus? Did you see it in your orb? Yeah, you're always staring at that orb. It's really weird.
Let me ponder my orb in peace, damn it. Listen, I tried to give you a merciful death by sending Hubert. But no, you succeeded there too. You keep fighting and eventually you will tire out and you will see people suffer before you. I'm giving you a chance to leave now. And this is when he teleports.
Man, just a total power move, just not even giving me a chance to respond.
You got a counterspell there, Kelly.
he's the kind of guy that does like to get it in the last word a few times.
Mm-hmm. Teleports back.
Counterspell would have been useful there, though.
Okay, do I see him?
So if you look behind you, if you go up into the Thorny Rose Tavern, you do not see him anywhere.
Wait, so Sir Thorn didn't impale him as he went up the stairs? Just lance. I was just hoping to walk up there, just him on a skewer, Sir Thorn, right. Just give it a thumbs up.
Both of his legs still dangling below him. He's like, I got him.
Grimshaw runs up and he's like,
Malus, face me, coward, face me and die a death worthy of your name.
And I just scream to an empty room. I guess maybe not empty. I'm sure Bob the Rubid Maker is giving me eyes.
He and Sir Thorn are sharing a ribbon and ale.
Where did he go? Where is he?
Who?
Malus.
Well, he didn't come through here.
What do you mean he didn't come through here?
He didn't run through here. Did you see him?
But we rolled a mischance in the door. He needed a target to teleport to. By the laws of deduction, he must have come here through somewhere, unless he heightened it to fifth level.
Grimshaw Grimshaw's being meta again.
He's talking madness.
We must forcefully put him in an asylum so he gets this shit out.
What is this heightening levels you keep talking about? They're not real.
This doesn't exist. Magic doesn't exist, Grimshaw.
Spell yeah, ranks? So what?
He storms out of the Thorny Rose Tavern and he takes off looking for him. Like he just thinks he's just like a second behind him. He doesn't want to waste any time.
Life isn't a game of incrementally harder challenges.
So you unbar the front door to the Thorny Rose and you go out and
it's still barred too. It's like, what? Where
so you've gone? You unbar it and you go out and you see then it's later in the evening now, there's still people milling about, but there's much less of a crowd here in the Silver City, and you don't see him anywhere.
I guess there are windows that he could have saw the outside too.
Yeah.
I guess Benson will go help him try to search.
So, as you're maybe coming out of Thorny Rose Tavern, you see Grimshaw coming back down the street. He's like,
"He's gone, Benson. He's gone."
Wizards have a tendency to do things like that.
Yes.
You see Grimshaw summon, the manifestation of the Chrono Worm.
He serves the Chrono Worm too. It doesn't make any sense. I just don't understand it.
Well, maybe we'll get a chance for another conversation later.
When Kezra realizes that he's gone, he wants to do a recall knowledge to know if that was what kind of teleportation that was.
Go ahead.
Crap, I don't have my dice.
Please roll high.
And Elkwood's going to wait for this to finish, but yeah, something to give to Kezra, actually, at this point.
Shit. Okay. 26.
I would say that's good enough to know that this was a heightened translocate.
Ooh. What?
So translocate. You instantly transport yourself and any items you're wearing and holding from your current space to an unoccupied space within range you can see. Hold on. If this will bring another creature with you, even if you're carrying it in an extra dimensional container, the spell is lost, which is a very interesting caveat to the spell, but I'll continue. If it is heightened to 5th level, the range increases to 1 mile, and you don't need to be able to see your destination.
Okay,
that's a bit correct.
Jackass. Yeah, Kezra walks up the stairs again.
Kezra, come back. He has his spell book because he took it from Malus because he dropped it. And so he goes, see if this will help you out or with anything. And it's just a small little book. I mean, according from what you said, if you're able to learn anything from this would be good. And actually, he drops a spear back there as well. Elkwood's gonna go back all the way.
Yep.
Loot the rock chest while you're there.
Oh yeah.
Is there anything while I'm walking with Elk? I'm examining the book. Is there anything useful about the book, or is it just merely his spell book?
It is just merely his spell book. So I can tell you what spells he had, but we can. You can't learn those though. No.
Dude, that spell basically makes any wizard just... you're never going to die.
Unless someone had a reaction to attack him during that
spell. Right, or you just crit and kill him in a couple shots.
Yes, yeah, also
well, true. We tried.
We tried. Did try. Alright, so... his spear. I will tell you, it is a... you would actually be interested in this, Elkwood. It is a +1 striking elven branched spear.
Oh, that's interesting.
Several short branches project from this delicate spear's shaft, each angled forward and tipped with a leaf-like blade. So this one is, in particular, a +1 striking energizing elven branched spear. and the let's see, energizing. A weapon with this rune can absorb energy damage to empower it. So it is a reaction in vision. It's just a reaction. The trigger is you take acid, cold, electricity, fire, or sonic damage. The weapon becomes imbued with the triggering energy type. It deals an additional 1d8 damage to the of the triggering type until the end of your next turn. As normal, if you use this reaction during the duration, the damage doesn't combine. Instead, change the 1d8 to the new triggering type. So if he was using reactions during that during the getting shoved in and out of the wall, he could have turned his into electricity.
Okay. So you have to take damage from it?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It says you take acid, cold, electricity, fire, or sonic damage. So
that's kind of cool.
It is cool. Elf weapon, deadly d8, finesse. It's also a reach weapon too.
It is. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, he'll pick it up. He can use it actually. Because he's trained in elf weaponry.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, and now you have a reach weapon. So.
Yeah, I was just looking. I was like, the only thing that I think it only benefits from. Dex and really no strength at all. So I mean, it's perfect for like a wizard or something that can use it. But yeah, I mean, I would just say 2d6 plus 6 right now for me, and it's reach. So
yeah,
it's cool. Hey, check out the Rakshasa. Raja Rakshasa.
Raja Rakshasa. Yeah, so she just had some gold bangles and jewelry on her, and then just her regular clothes. So it's about 20 gold pieces worth of jewelry on her. She had extravagant taste when it came to jewelry.
I'll take it. why not? Okay, so this is probably a question, I guess, if we don't have enough for the knowledge check, but I know we talked about before, like, she didn't disappear when she died. Does that mean, like, she's dead, or does she come back at some point? Because I know, like, with demons and stuff, they go back, you know, to Abyss, or devils go back to hell.
We learned that this is its native plane.
So, yeah,
so
she's
it's dead.
Yeah,
okay. She's dead. Hey, yeah. That's cool. He'll cut the head off.
Okay.
He'll cut the head off just, you know, to end it. Pretty much completely. Just in case, you know, because I was actually thinking if Malus was like gonna go back
for resurrect or something,
but nope. Okay.
Yeah.
So you cut her head off, and she has a it is a boar head, but obviously the anatomy is a bit different to fit onto the humanoid body.
Right.
Take the backwards hands.
Yeah, someone might buy it. A wizard might buy it, to be honest.
Right?
Could you imagine a monkey's paw, but it's a Rakshasa paw?
There's probably.
I was just like, wow, you can make wishes that turn. Wow, yeah, that would still probably be bad.
It
was
still probably end up being a curse of some kind.
No. That's the cursed version of monkey's paw, and that when you ask for a wish, it does the opposite of what you want, and then curses you as well. It's like, oh, this sucks. They didn't do anything.
My bank account's empty, and now I have gout.
Can't even afford to have gout at this point. He's going to check the rest of this room since we never really got a chance.
Yeah, Grimshaw, he's made his way back down because he's looking for any signs of Marvin, and he's also curious in the alchemical table to see if there's any maybe clues, because Marvin, he was an inventor of sorts, so you know maybe some of the telltale signs of his, what happened to him is somewhere around there.
Yeah, so when you go back and you start looking through all the things that were in the room, you find. In the room with all the chemical stuff, you find 3 elixirs of life lesser.
Okay.
Take it. And then 2 really interesting alchemical things here. One of them is called a... Oh, actually, you know what? Go ahead and make me a crafting check there, Kel, to identify these, because these are very interesting looking ones.
Okay. 32.
That is pretty good. I'll go ahead and give you both there. The first one is a chromatic jellyfish oil.
What? Okay.
What the shit is that?
made from chromatic jellyfish, God.
Yeah, you know there's dragons? Well, now there's jellyfish. made from several oils of differing hues extracted from jellyfish from rare plants. The layers of chromatic jellyfish oil stack to form a rainbow within their vial. So it looks very pretty. It's like the sand that you would... the little sand vials you make as a kid.
Yeah.
For 10 minutes after consuming chromatic jellyfish oil, you gain resistance to precision damage and extra damage from critical hits according to the jellyfish oil's type.
Whoa.
While the effect lasts, you ignore difficult terrain caused by moving through tight spaces that aren't tight enough to force you to squeeze. and you can move 5 feet per round when you successfully squeeze, or 10 feet per round on a critical success. You can also crawl at half your speed rather than 5 feet.
Mm. How long does the effect last?
10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the oil grants resistance 5. I guess maybe we'll roll to see which jellyfish you get. But yeah. Gain resistance to precision damage and extra damage from critical hits according to the jellyfish oil's type. Oh, it doesn't. I didn't say which one does that, though. Well, it's a lesser, so if you look it up, you can find that for yourself, too. Additionally, you find a... What was the other thing? A Spiderfoot Brew.
Walk on walls?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what it sounds like. Spider climb.
Sticky fluid is made from the silk glands of giant spiders. When you drink a spiderfoot brew, tiny hairs grow in your hands and feet, granting you a climb speed and an item bonus to athletics checks made to climb for the listed duration. This is a lesser, so the climb speed is 15 feet and item bonus is +1 and the duration is 1 minute.
Okay, that's pretty cool too. I mean,
yeah, that's cool.
I mean, there's feel like
one of the champions could take that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Benson just climbing up the walls.
Yep.
Or and actually,
Benson
I mean,
on walls.
Or Elk could take it and just climb onto a wall and shoot arrows at evil.
Oh, sick. Yeah. Okay, although, that's even cooler. Yeah,
what's dangerous? Spider-Man with a bow and arrow?
Yes.
They give Spider-Man everything else. Why not give him a bow?
I'd do it if I had a gun, but no, I don't have a gun. So... he'll take that.
Okay. Lastly, you find a very particular looking tool belt. Go ahead and roll a... This will either be a society check, or this can also be a... this will actually be society.
Crafting?
The tool belt? It does have transmutation, so if it's... if you want to do Arcana or Crafting, I'll say that works, too. Crafting actually is actually more specific to this.
Crafting?
Yeah.
Hmm.
32 again.
Amazing. This is a Bellflower Tool Belt. Different versions of the Bellflower tool belt are customized to appear to suit specific trades, so a belt used for carpentry would look different from a belt for baking. This one looks like woodworking. It looks like, you know, it looks like it's got like chisel tools. This thing has two action and vision interact. Effect, you place an object up to one bulk into the belt, transforming that object into a tool befitting the trade for which the belt was created. Each object remains transformed until it has been removed from the belt for 24 hours, or someone uses a single interact action to return it to its normal form. If enough transformed items are in it, the belt can be used as artisan tools for that trade.
So you can just load up like a bunch of swords on the belt and they'll turn into chisels?
That's a very particular trade right there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the chisel salesman here.
Yeah. Grimshaw, you recognize the symbol as the Bellflower Network. So That is the informant group that works in the city.
Oh. Huh.
But where was...
What?
Where what was do it, I,
the informant group? So the ones that the Crimson Briar sometimes works with.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So the way that it works for you guys is that the Bellflower Network gets information.
Yeah.
They have various ways to, like, transfer information between each other with, like, secret codes and stuff like that. You probably learned your doublespeak through them. And then when information... When they get information to you guys of where something is happening, you guys SWAT team in there and like take stuff out. So you work hand in hand with these people a lot.
Okay. So it's pretty out of place to find this here.
Yes.
Hmm.
You recognize the group?
I do. I don't know what this is doing here. It's just... The more time goes on here, it's... The more complicated, more questions, not any answers. Where's Marvin? Why is his tool belt here? Does that mean the informant network is compromised too? I don't know how deep this goes, but it seems to go deeper than I thought before.
Do you know where we would find these people?
Do I?
Yeah, so... They're scattered in little pockets throughout the city.
Right.
But I probably
don't know, like, where their HQ is necessarily, but I might know, like, contact points.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems like we have some more investigating to do.
Indeed.
Yes, seems that way. What time is it, technically, right now?
I said it was evening.
It's evening. You guys are spending time down here. It would make it later into the evening now.
Okay, because that's one thing that they'll... definitely needs to do is he does need the rest at some point because he is drained still.
You're drained three?
Three? Yes.
Man. Three days.
3 days, or if there's a nice cleric, but...
Well, this is the Silver City, so there are plenty of those.
One would assume.
There's probably a Desna temple around.
Oh, yeah. I would trust Desna over a Zankuthan. Restoration.
Wow.
All you need to do is flash your piece, and then they'll be like, oh, yeah, we know that.
Can I touch it? You'll be like, well, you have three restorations, and you can touch the ancient artifact of Desda.
Desda's telling me you're actually good with the sauce.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool and all with her, you know. She's got her star knife. He's Elk's actually also going to look, actually he's going to talk to Grimshaw about something. He's like, so what do you know about this Malus that much that he just decides to betray you out of thin air like this? You said you always had your suspicions.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he was a pretty invaluable member of the Briar. We just didn't have an enchanter like him. And there were people who'd raise concerns, but their concerns came out a bit baseless. I was one of those who had concerns, but I was never able to find anything, so the inner circle of the Briar just waved off any concerns that people had. They just said that we were maybe jealous of his power or just out of our minds. Maybe that's why they sent me after you, Burke. I mean... Oh, yeah, you didn't see that whole anime-style locked-in-time conversation I have with Malus, but he told me that he sent Hubert to kill me.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Curious, do you know anything else about Malus? Perhaps does he frequent other locations than here?
He's just always cooped up here.
He motions to an orb sitting on the apothecary table.
He really loves staring at that orb. So weird. Yes. I heard he said it was a wizard thing, but I didn't believe him.
No, I knew a couple wizards that liked to ponder their orbs.
Yeah, he did say that. He always said, I'm pondering my orb, Grimshaw. I'm pondering my orb. Yes. I just...
Lock the door. I'm...
Lock the door. Don't come in.
Don't come in. I'm pondering.
Kessler goes over and grabs the orb and puts it into the bag of holding.
Oh, gross, you're touching that thing.
I'll clean it later.
You just hear glass breaking.
All right, now everyone leave. I need to ponder the orb.
I need to go ponder the orb.
Okay. But do I mean, like, aside from, I mean, he's really cooped up in here with his books. Like, did I know him to, like, frequent? Did he like ale? Did he? It's like, I don't even know if I would know that about him.
I mean, he really kept to himself. He, like, yeah. like you would know that he enchanted a lot of your stuff. He was very much like an information guy. So, you know, like he would work with the Belfar network as well. He was a very, right, very intelligent and talented wizard. But you know, he had many different facets of what he was able to do. So
now that I think of it, he did have connections with the Bellflower Network. I know we kind of talked about trying to find someone to see if they know anything about whose belt this belongs to, but it might be a risky move. I mean, at this point, we already tried to kill him. What is he gonna do? Tell the Bellflower Network his informants on the inside? They'll try to kill us? I mean, he's already tried to kill me twice. What's the third time, huh?
Maybe Sir Thorne knows something.
That's a good shot. We might want to talk to him.
Yes, because otherwise we'd rather not him free reign of the city at this point.
I agree. A powerful wizard. With the threat of his life upon him.
Well,
it's a dangerous adversary.
He doesn't have a spellbook any longer. That's going to be a good bit of a hindrance to him.
Yeah, he's really only dangerous for the next, you know, couple of hours.
Oh, yeah. That was a pretty good move there, Elkwood, taking that book. We should probably burn it.
Oh, if Kezra can learn anything from it, but...
Oh, yeah, sorry, Kezra. I thought you just kind of, like... Last time I talked to you about spells, you said it just kind of happened. But, you know, I don't know, maybe you read.
Yeah, books are for nerds. But I'm going to throw it in here anyway.
There's no pictures.
Kezra just tosses the book in the bag of holding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I was like, can you sell another wizard spell book? I mean, is that worth
it?
No, anything?
You don't want to sell it. Malus would definitely get it back in his possession.
Yeah, normally, yeah, you could definitely sell that. In this one, I would not do that.
Yeah, that's what you do. You, like, forge everything and then change the spells around. He's like, yeah, I got it back. And then he tries to cast a spell and it explodes or something.
Oh, yeah, what was that, Sepia Sigil or whatever that was? Wow. Guarded Sigil?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one spell.
Books and shit.
Yeah, it's the one where...
You
reopen
the book and it just explodes.
it's like a single line or something like that in a book or something like that. And you read it, and it just explodes, dealing like 5d8 damage or something stupid.
Yeah, it's definitely wizard traps. And what was it? There was another one that was the amber one that, like, traps the person in amber.
Yeah. There's just so many fun spells.
So secretive wizards are.
I'll tell you this too. His book collection was pretty extensive. If you guys ever want to do a knowledge check or use crafting or anything like that, any skill pretty much. If you can do it in here, then you can get a +2 to your recall knowledge or any kind of skill check.
Fair enough.
Nice. Oh, sick.
But as long as you do it in the room, you can't, like...
Oh, okay.
You can't, like, get acrobatics.
Oh, there's a book on balancing.
Oh, Gymnastics 101, interesting.
As long as I'm in this room,
I can do a double handspring.
Oh, my God.
Check out this cartwheel, guys.
Do it outside. No.
Yeah, do it out here.
Falls right in your face. All right, so what is your guy's next move? I know you said you want to talk to Sir Thorne.
Yeah, see if he had any information on Malus, that stuff that Grimshaw, you know, didn't know. You know, Grimshaw is a man of action. He didn't really spend time with the bookish types too much.
Yeah. So you go talk to Sir Thorne. He's got his legs all wrapped up, and he's got boards to keep him straight until you guys can bring him to a hospital cleric. So when you guys go in, he's enjoying probably his third ale.
This is as good a time as any to tell you, Sir Thorin, that he got away. Melis got away. I'm sorry.
Damn it! Throws the mug at the wall. Blasted. The bastard. I knew there was something off with him. I was out on a mission, and the owners of the Thorny Rose came and found me while I was investigating. They told me to come back, and they ambushed me.
Yeah. I learned that he serves the worm. That sounds really weird.
I gotta ponder my ore, Bessie, as he serves the worm.
God, that sounds so wrong. Serves the worm. What?
Wait, never say the worm that again. Before?
Whatever you do with that worm, can it not be served?
That's just
we've all served the worm a few times, okay? Let's not.
Oh, Lord.
You gotta ponder the orb first.
Ponder the orb and then serve the worm.
And then serve the worm. Well, that's the episode title. So Sir Thorin, who, by the way, he played by Idris Elba.
Right.
So he just goes, oh, if he's blessed by the Chrono Worm too, then that explains many things. He was always, hard to pin down, hard to track down sometimes. So I guess that makes sense.
We're trying to just get any information on him that we could use to our advantage. Like, did he frequent any taverns? I know he had connections to the Bellflower Network. Do you know which members he had contact with? It's like, on the one hand, I want to run into them, but on the other hand, I don't, you know?
No. I understand, Grimshold, and you know as much as I do. You and I worked closely together, but... Melis, he always kept to himself, and he always just gave us information.
That's what I was afraid of. Too many questions, not enough answers. I'm a bit at a loss.
I understand. Right now, if you wouldn't mind taking me to a cleric so they could restore my legs...
Of course.
After a Reuben.
After one more Reuben. And another ale.
Yeah, do not see how tired this man looks. And he's like gesturing at Elk, who's like down to his bones. Get this man a sandwich and a bed.
Give me an orange juice as well.
Like, Elk must look really fun. Drain 3, you're like, eyes are sunken.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Your body is like haggard.
I'm more ghoulish looking than usual.
Your hair is probably like falling out.
Right. Oh.
Come on, I still have over triple digits of health, man. I'm still good.
It's not the external health, it's the internal.
Right.
My heart, it hurts.
Your vitality falls.
Every time my heart beats, it hurts. Ow.
So, this man has a very fragile heart, so get him a greasy ass Reuben and a beer.
Load up on fries and salt.
Make sure there's extra mayo on that Reuben.
You guys get extra juicy Reubens and extra strong ales. But before you guys take Sir Thorin to which church are you going to?
I mean, it's late at night, so we'd go to Desna. They're still up.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd be asleep. Okay. They'd probably be asleep.
But they are.
Who are the partiers?
Caden.
Huh. Caden. Oh yeah. Duh. Caden. All right.
All right. So you go to a tavern.
Mm-hmm.
That we know has a cleric.
That you know has a cleric. Okay,
yes. Not we just don't. I mean, we were already at a tavern.
There's a difference between cleric and practitioners of Caden.
Yes. Big difference. And let me tell you, there are some taverns that claim to have a cleric, but they just serve you alcohol.
It's just some guy that's really, really good at doing the card trick behind the ear thing.
He's more of a mixologist than a priest.
That's a sentence you never think to hear out loud.
All right, so you guys find one. There's some guy who's singing shanties or something. You know, this is a port town, so they give ships in. So there's some Caden cleric that is a pirate type.
We respectfully wait until his number is done.
That might be a while.
Thorne's just like, no, it's okay, I'll wait.
the Caden equivalent of 99 bottles.
Yeah.
20 verses later. And one more time. And
what time is it? 9:30. That's 2.5 more hours.
Kezrit yells at him, like, hey, hurry up.
He sings faster. He sings faster, yeah. Eventually, the band picks up to sort of do the idol music, and he comes down and he goes, how can I help you?
Wondering if you could provide any services. We're in a bit of a bind. Sister Thorne, I don't know if you guys made your acquaintance before.
And does he know this particular cleric? I feel like...
This guy seems a little small time. Sir Thorne has probably talked to him, but yeah. It's a big city too. So
yeah. Okay. yeah. So,
do you? We've heard rumors that you have in your possession restoration magic.
Oh yeah. I can do that for him. Let's see. Restoration. I was gonna say he has just one here. I was going to see if he could do it on both of Sir Thorne's legs.
Yeah, it's a 2-for-1. Okay. I mean, every good tavern owner knows that if you don't have a 2-for-1 every once in a while, you're gonna lose business.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. He gets out his components and stuff like that, and he,
Caden, hail this man of this burden. Give him back the function of his legs,
and he clenches Sir Thorne's legs together, and the magic goes over, and Sir Thorne's like, oh, wow, I feel so much better, thank you. So he gets up and sort of, yeah, exactly. So he kind of sort of shakes his legs, and you hear his knees sort of pop back into place. And he's just like, oh, so last time I take a fall like that.
Heal this man's leg so he can walk like a sailor. We need him.
Yeah, Grimshaw is very heartened to see such a quick resolution to a dear friend. And maybe trying to blend in a little bit with the scene, he shouts out to the very crowded bar,
"A round's up, next round's on me, boys."
Yeah, there's about 25 people in here, so they all happily go, woo! And the...
I just lean over to Kezra and I'm like, when in Rome, you know?
And then Kezra orders. He's just covered.
Yeah. Kezra's already at the bar.
Oh, you're by? He points at you across the bar.
They don't do Rubens here, they do turkey clubs.
They're good turkey clubs.
You have to divide the sandwich market, or otherwise there's too much competition.
Dude, at least have some gravy or something.
Gravy. Like a hot turkey sandwich.
Like we have a what would it be? I was thinking we have a Varisian onion soup.
Hey. Okay.
I'll destroy one. Yeah.
I'll
take it, one of your dry ass sandwiches.
All right, so Sir Thorin feels a lot better. This cleric goes back to singing his sea shanties. You still have Elkwood to heal of the drained condition, however. So
Which I mean, I'm pretty sure drain goes away after a night of rest.
So, well, one of them does.
But like, if he can at least get one restoration also tonight, that'll at least knock it down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also right now looking around the bar. Let's see. Like, the thing with Hunt Prey is that now that I've seen this guy, I can use it as a exploration activity to give myself bonuses for perception checks and survival. So,
sick.
So while, like, that's all going on, he's kind of outside of the bar, looking around and seeing if, like, anything, any sign, which is kind of really difficult because, I mean, he's a human. It's not like he's... But he was bleeding. So, yep, like, there could be a spot, there'd be, like, a... I mean, he teleported, but it'd be kind of, like, walks along something and there'd be, like, a spot of blood randomly there. You're like,
wait, does he hear? Does he hear anybody talking about hearing, like, an injured, like, wizard?
There's this wizard that just came in and he was bleeding.
So you, so you stand outside. This would be a perception check, you said?
Yeah, with a plus two bonus on it. So
got it.
So that isn't bad at all. That's a 37.
That is really, really good.
Yes. That's a fantastic roll for this.
That was. So what you learn is that there was some commotion outside of the Thorny Rose, but from what you hear, whoever made that commotion is just gone. Like, completely ran away.
But they were outside the Thorny Rose Tavern. But, like, people saw him, at least.
Yeah, what I mean, like, around it, not, like, outside of it, but, like in the area of it.
Okay.
And if Kezra told you that the spell range, when you heighten it, goes to,
A mile.
It goes to 1 mile.
A mile. So. Yeah, and he doesn't need to see it.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought when he said commotion, I thought it was, like, he poured it out, but people, like, were like, whoa! Like, this guy just came out of nowhere. Yeah. Okay. He still don't keep him as hunted prey for now, though. He's going to walk. So I don't know if whoever's joining, because he doesn't need people to accompany him to go to a distant temple.
Gotcha.
But he's going to look for the distant temple.
All right. So after getting a restoration for the cost of whatever it would take to pay for a round of drinks,
It was 40 gold.
40 gold.
Most expensive.
which is coincidentally what a spell casting of fourth level would cost to cast a restoration.
Yes.
So there we go.
Varisian wine for everyone.
The Varisian wine, the richest Varisian wine for everybody.
Or you just bought this whole keg for the bar, you know.
So this cleric does not have the ability to cast more than one, however, so you will have to go to another one. Going to the Church of Desna, they are more than happy to help you here, Elkwood. As you go in, what do you do?
No, he walks in, he is tired, he is drained, he feels like shit, he is full of Rubens and not feeling better. But he kind of... It's kind of funny, though, like, now thinking, he just kind of walks very softly. So even if he walks in, he probably doesn't really attract attention first.
Yeah.
Until he just kind of appears. But he does see if anyone's up.
There are some practitioners around and clerics, and so when you walk in, some guy's there. He's a big, stocky dude, and he's just like, "Boy, you look like you need a nap."
You don't know the half of it. Yes, I do need a nap. I need sleep. I need something desperately to help me, actually. Besides saying what the actual thing is, that he goes, "So I'm under the effects of an ability. He doesn't give full details, but he's like, I'm drained."
But he's a high level cleric, you could tell, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
"I was curious if you could help me with this ailment."
"Boy, you adventurers have love to get yourselves tied into things like this. Yeah, go and have a seat. We'll help you out.
Does Hank help?"
I deal in sleep things and sleep accessories.
See, look at this mattress. Look at it. You'll never have to buy another one.
I sleep in a sleeping bag. That boy ain't right.
you sit down in one of the pews in the in the stargazing auditorium.
I think you mean one of the beds, right?
No,
stargazing,
no.
Right?
No, it's a pew, but it has a recliner option. So it just reclines.
Oh, yeah, like the movie theaters, yeah.
just assuming Tesla churches are just like that. Just
what else are they? What else could pillars. They be? But find me the canon thing, and then I'll change it. So they sit you down, and they pull out some reagents, and you know it's like sage and lavender, and it's all this kind of like you know swelling stuff to sort of like relax your body, so that for an actual you know rest. And yeah, they do the incantations, and they're able to. How many do you want them to cast on you?
I would say just two, because then the last one I can just sleep that out.
Okay. They cast two restorations on you. Mm-hmm. It would be heightened restorations 80. To fourth level. Yeah. So it'd be 80 gold pieces worth of castings here.
Can I have discount and then pull out the Star Knife?
you pull out the magic Star Knife, and every practitioner of Desna has had the same reaction to this thing, where they're like almost they have the same reaction of being in awe and then being like almost like drawn into it, where they're just surprised that this thing of legend is here and they're holding it.
Well, I never say holding it. They can look at it.
Yeah. Damn. Well, somebody's holding it. It's a tangible thing in front of them. There's some of the younger practitioners, perhaps, that like don't understand what it is. And once it's like explained to them, they're just like in disbelief, because you know something as ancient as the elves and the Ayadara, which none of them know about, by the way. It, you know, this goes back before like time was even, you know, started to be recorded, you know, like these kinds of things. And so, you know, it's far, far beyond any of them. It's you way into books that people don't even read anymore. And so they've only heard musings of it and, you know, mentions of it. And so, you know, they're just in awe of it.
Yeah, because it's something that he finds it a comfort to just hold it. It kind of it's neat to look at. I mean, God, I'd be staring at it all the time, too, because it's moving stars within the blades. Like, it's that enchanted.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I mean, like, he doesn't really say too much. Like, he is exhausted, but he kind of, I guess, can trust the high priest here, or the high cleric, and allows him to hold it. He wishes, but
yeah. He'll hold it up, and he holds it up against the stars and in the sky, and he's able, and it like matches perfectly. Like wherever he looks, you can see the stars. The stars that he sees behind it are the stars he sees in it. Wow. So if you were like a stargazing tool. It's really neat, and so he just finds it fascinating.
Like, I could hold it up and activate its effect that I haven't used yet, which is besides the blindness one, which if I crit, but there's actually the other effect is that it produces light. Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to use it because we have either low light vision or we've been in well lit locations.
Right.
And but yeah, it allows you to shed light. Like blades glow like the star lit night sky, causing it to shed light as a torch until it's deactivated. So that's I guess I could have used that in the dungeon, except the fact that, you know, throwing it, oh, that'd be kind of a cool effect now.
yeah, right.
Like a glowing dark frisbee.
Yeah.
That no one should catch.
But yeah, no, he allows him to hold it, but he does demand ask for it back.
Yeah. So, and after you go through the ritual to spell cast and everything like that, they do happily give it back. Mm. And they say, you come back at any time now, and you know we can dream some more together.
Sounds quite nice. I do actually have a question for you, if you by chance. And he brings up Malus, but not in a way of like, oh, have you heard of this guy? But you're like, was there a disturbance earlier that there was a wizard that was injured? Do you recall hearing or seeing it?
Some kind of injured fella?
Well, I'm kind of looking for him. He's no friend, for sure.
Alright. I don't recall hearing any word about that. There's always something happening around town, so if I hear anything, I'll make sure to keep an ear out for you and pass it along.
Thank you, much obliged. What is your name?
Gregory.
Okay.
You sure it's not Hank?
Gregory Hill.
Oh, that's my brother.
He's obsessed with fire. But no, he thanks him, and I don't know, is everyone back at the bar still?
Yeah, Benson just enjoying a drink.
Yep.
And a turkey sandwich.
You sure don't have any corned beef back there?
For the last time, no!
This place kind of fucking blows. But they've got beer.
What's with the corned beef? He grabs you by the scruff. What do you want with the corned beef?
Why does everyone keep bringing up corned beef? Okay, I mean, he'll go back to the bar. Feeling a little bit more refreshed. Doesn't look nearly as haggard.
Jesus, Elk, you look like a new person.
Yeah, where'd you go?
I just went to the dream house within the city. And they knocked it down quite a bit for me. I think a night's rest will do me good.
I'm glad to hear that. Does this place have beds? Or do we have to find an inn?
I'm gonna go back to the Thorny Rose. Just kidding. We definitely don't want to go back there.
All those bodies are down there still.
Yeah, what is the plan for the cleanup crew?
Just dump them in the trench. And...
No, the Rubens are people!
That was the secret ingredient.
Well, I'm not gonna stop now. Just takes another.
I don't know what Bob does to those people, but my god.
Alright, Bob, clean the bodies.
Rubens are people. Okay.
No. No, it's canon now.
Yeah, he's going to the back kitchen. There's just bodies on meat hooks.
This is how rumors start.
That's why Bob's Rubens are so different.
Sweet
human meat.
We can use this brush also. Man, this meat tastes cursed.
Yeah, it is.
This tastes horrible. It's like it's spitting in my god's face.
It's a cleric eating it, and they're just like, I just lost all influence.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna die. question. Does the angel statue make sense now?
Yeah, because the Rakshasa hates
they hate anything divine, so
but we never like found it anywhere.
Found the heads.
I guess
remember it was a statue of a bunch of angels together, and it was a lot of their heads that were missing, because you did not find them, you assumed they got pulverized to dust or something.
She probably ate them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Snack.
Angel heads.
Like popcorn to her.
I mean,
she just couldn't resist the sweet angel meat, you know?
Yeah, sweet angel meat is the best.
The ribbons. Sweet angel meat. It has to be corn, sweet angel meat.
Well, I'm sure if we talked to our one friend, he would be like, oh, you can room with me, the Zonkuthon cleric.
Look at the bed. It's a bed of nails.
Oh, man. Oh, let me just get those off. He shoves them on the bed. Or on the floor.
It hasn't even been a day, and we already forgot his name.
No, we haven't seen him.
I think it was Helico.
Was it Helico?
Yeah, it was Helico.
Yeah.
Halleka.
Yeah, Kezra would definitely like to sleep.
Yeah.
He's already passing out at the bar. you better get him home.
You know what happens?
Bad things
happen. It's an unfamiliar large city.
Oh no! As you guys, two of you have Kezra, like, you know, like you have your arms under his as you're sort of like walking him home. And at a certain point, you realize he does not have pants on. He had pants when he left.
Wow!
Classic.
The pants were on.
Classic.
How
Kezra.
Does he keep doing this?
Honestly, it's kind of impressive at this point.
Just how does he keep getting away with it?
I hope it didn't tell me how!
Kezra just mumbles, I'll need new pants.
Go to the clothing store where they also sell tacos.
When you get Kezra pants of returning,
when he throws them, they just magically turn around in the air and slide back onto his legs.
I like to think every single business, regardless of what their initial business is, they also sell one very interesting food item. Like, we're gonna go to the forge. We come back with Eggs Benedict.
Eggs on the forge. Taking them smoky. Alright, so you guys are gonna go to Halleka?
Oh no, I was just making as a joke.
No, definitely not. We're not gonna approach the embassy of
he's your best friend. No, if anything, Elk's gonna go back to the dream house.
Wow. Yeah, right?
I'm sure they'll let me sleep there.
Other worshippers of Iomide get kind of nervous when I walk around.
Don't mind me, guys. I'm just sleeping.
Oh my god, yeah, I guess you're like legend to all of us because it's like we're not Iomide worshippers, but like you just
whenever,
like,
Benson rolls up to a church of Iomide, they question. Yeah, why are you here, buddy?
You're literally
it's sort of
the police.
No, it's like a restaurant right before a food inspector comes in. They're like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Clean it up.
Except when this food inspector comes, people die.
Yes. Frequently.
Yeah, Benson just rolls up and they're like, we haven't had any reports of your arrival. I mean, I guess you never give a report of your arrival. Hi, cleric!
I owe it to be praised. Hide the wine!
Because of Kintargo's past, the worship of Iomide is not exactly prominent here.
Makes sense.
But mostly it's Asmodeus. As Kintargo's most prominent, Temple Hill also hosts temples for a few other state-approved faiths, including Zonkuthon, Abadar, and Shaylin. So you can imagine which of those is probably going to be the nicest.
Shaylin would be feather beds and
feather beds, getting comfy silk sheets.
I mean, Abadar's church will be nice. Those rooms will be nice, but they'll be pricey.
Yeah, they'll be expensive.
I mean, it'll be like
I think I might just roll here with Caden's this Caden Tavern Temple.
It's a bar. Right.
Yeah.
Here we have sleep in the corner.
I love Ion Ray, but god damn it, her churches can't even come close to the Cain Kellyans.
And Ion Ray's church, you just get like a stone slab.
Yep.
And a potato.
Deal with it, you have a job.
Imadeus would be like the monk of the abbeys, like that is just like a small room, like you get a cot and a table to write your letters or something.
They only serve cold, salted beef.
And maybe a hard chunk of cheese if you're lucky.
Yeah, and some hardtack. Just
every room has gigantic, gaudy paintings of knights destroying demons. It's like very large and uncomfortable photos.
You turn around in the middle of the night and you just see this demon's face being stabbed.
Benson's like, this place is the tits.
Yeah, I'll go back to the dream house.
Yeah.
Alright, you go back to the dream house, and then the rest of you guys are going back to that Caden the Caden Tavern.
Yeah. Oh, I never left. Me and Sir Thorn, we're catching up. I mean, it's been like a month, you know? So.
That's true. That's true. I went to Fantasy Name Generators, and that is called the Moldy Barrel.
Hey!
Nice. That's good.
That's a good one. FantasyNameGenerators.com. Use them. They're great.
For all your fantasy name generating needs.
Fantasy name generating needs.
Is the mold at least outside of the barrel?
Nope. No, that's the flavor. The flavor. Yeah, it's called fermenting. That's not what fermenting is.
No. If you see mold in your beer, there's something very wrong.
That's gross.
Very wrong.
All right, so Mark, we'll do you last. The rest of you guys, and if you guys are staying here, what do you guys want to talk about? What do you guys want to do?
I don't have much to talk about.
Probably Benson is making sure Gesser gets to bed, I think.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I would talk about is what we would want to do tomorrow.
Okay.
Is Kesra even in a state to talk about what to do?
I was going to say, so while Benson is wrestling Kesra into bed, what do you talk about with Sir Thorn, Grimshaw?
So tell me, besides all this, whatever's going on with the Briar right now, I haven't seen you in like a month. What adventures have you embarked on since the last time we talked?
Much of the usual. I did help two people escape. It turns out that they were tricked into it. They were promised with some sort of adventuring group, but when I they answered this board notice, thinking that they would go be a privateer somewhere. And when they got there, they were caught and strung up, and they were getting ready to be shipped or sold somewhere with the Scarlet Triad.
Typical. This is a board notice in Gintargo. Or was it somewhere else, do you think?
I believe it was here, but trying to track that down would be difficult. But I'm just glad that I found them in the first place.
I know it's a lot of red tape, but we really need to get some sort of standards in place to have some approved notices put up on these boards. Like, I feel like this is like the fifth time this happened.
The clerics of Asmodeus have too much going on. They couldn't care less about this, but as far as I'm concerned, all their red tape is stopping people from getting saved. You know me, I'm a man of action.
Oh yeah, I know. We're the ones getting things done around here, it seems.
That's right, and with my legs back, I can get more Scarlet Triad members on the end of this, and he holds up his lance.
Yeah, there's the matter at hand of contacting the others. I feel like Brightwing deserves a better than what she got. I only was able to say a quick prayer.
And you can see Grimshaw, his face drops as he remembers. He remembers his fallen comrade.
Sir Thorne just kind of looks down and just goes, I thought I'd be able to save everyone. The owners came back to me and told me that I had to report back as soon as possible, and when I came in and I saw Malus, and I saw that Assyrian woman, it started accosting me, and they started to ask me all these things when I rebuked them, and I told them to leave, and I banished them from that place. Now that I think about it, blasted me into the hole as a bomb.
To blast you into what?
The thing that they blasted me into the gorge with. They threw a bomb at me, and that's what. It was some sort of concussion thing. You wouldn't see Marvin, have you?
No, we didn't see any sign of him. He's, according to
what was that little kid's name? The one tending the bar, that boy. Alvin. Yeah.
Alvin said that Marvin was missing. We didn't see any sight. We found some tinctures, but I couldn't tell if they were made by Malus or Marvin. Sometimes their work overlaps. I don't know if he's held captive or if he's in goods with them.
If I know anything about... Wait, did you tell him that it was a Rakshasa?
I would have mentioned that, yeah.
Okay, you would have, yeah. So he just says, if I know anything about Rakshasa, she probably made him into a meal. Oh, damn, novice.
I mean, there's no blood or anything.
I mean, I would have noticed, like, maybe some dwarven beard...
Maybe.
Bangles, like somewhere where there was, like, something where it looked like a massacre happened, you know? Like, I expect something.
There's no trace at all. It's very concerning.
Well, until he shows up again, unfortunately we're just gonna have to count him as loss.
Just seems like our numbers, they're dwindling by the day.
Well, the good news is that if the owners do send anyone else there, they will find what was left and will help us be able to recover. But there's no danger in if they send anyone back now.
Well, so we think. Are you planning on heading back?
I'll have to. It is my home.
You remember last month I was sent out to track down Huberk. I went with Floyd, Lenore, Chastin, and Kinor. I'm the only one who made it out.
Oh.
It was...
He covers his face with his hands, and he's just like... Our numbers are becoming too low. I don't even know where some of the others are. They're doing missions, but I only hope that they're safe out there and this wasn't some other plan made up by Malus and other members of the Scarlet Triad.
Like this has not been coincidental. Malus told me that he sent me off to die at the hands of Huberk. So he meant for all of us to die.
And I'm gonna roll a deception check. I got a 32, and I'm gonna say,
I did all I could, Sir Thorne. I barely escaped with my life.
Let me see. This will go against his, what'd you get total?
32.
32, so regular success if you're trying to deceive him. Okay. And he just looks at you, and he looks just kind of just upset to, like, even... try to, like, decipher you, and so he's just like, I know you did, lad. I'm not angry at our failures. I'm angry that this evil still exists. Come, now's not the time for anger. Now's the time for rest. We have more work to do. I will be working with tavern workers and any of the other members that make it back to clean up. Clean up our base, but you rest now.
We'll keep in touch, Sir Thorne.
Right, lad. And
I think maybe after making a little more small talk, Grimshaw does make his way to his room.
All right, so we travel down the hallway from where Grimshaw is sleeping, and we see Benson and two other people trying to, like, put Kezra in the room and, like, in the bed, but he keeps, like, getting up and, like, somehow getting out the door. it's tackling me. Where are you going?
He's trying to give him, like, a thing of water. Make sure, no, the water's right there. Drink the water. Don't get up.
The last thing you see, because you're, like, looking from behind the bed... Kezra knocks the two other guys away. Benson suplexes him into the bed, and you see him just give him the full mount and just start throwing punches at Kezra.
Just go to sleep. Just go to sleep.
Kezra's like, my pants. Where are my pants?
They're dead.
So we see that Kezra is that drunk friend. You're just like, just. Please, just stop. Just sit. Just stop doing things. and I want to travel through the city.
before you go on this, like, it's just like, this is like Iron Man trying to get Hulk to go to sleep. And like, contrast this with when Adalar would be with Kesra, he was drunk. That was like Black Widow.
What did you prick me with? And he just passes out.
Contrast of friends.
Everyone knows their methods.
It's for your own good.
You caused too much destruction that Grimshaw would have to pay for.
He's the newest party member. Becoming too powerful of a sorcerer to just get belligerently drunk and use my magic.
guys, watch this. Blazing dive.
Hey, that's objectively a good drunk spell.
Hey guys, watch this. Guys, I can shoot lightning out of my mouth. Watch. Puts the bottles up. And you're just...
He's like, check this out. He goes up in the air and then launches off a cliff and just keeps going. Just as like, are we gonna go after him?
He'll like, be fine. He has temporary
hit points. You guys, he's like, guys, tell me what it smells like.
That's when Benson stabs him.
Well, we leave the scene with everyone trying to get Kesra into bed, and we travel down the city streets a few blocks, and we end up where the dream house is that we know Elkwood is staying at. He was welcomed very humbly into this place and given a place to sleep under the stars. And Elkwood, as you are asleep, you drift wonderfully into a nice, relaxing sleep. Your dream is lucid, one of the most lucid you've ever had. You feel completely in control. You can feel everything around you, and you find yourself in a wooded grove. And you can, as you like, touch the leaves, they feel just immensely real. They're soft and silky, and you can feel the dirt under your feet. And you look up and you see what looks to be a nice 10-point buck that is the perfect shot through the tree line. And you're like, I can make this easy. And all of a sudden, your bow is in your hands, and an arrow is immediately knocked. It's all muscle memory to you. And as you pull the bow up and you aim down, perfectly looking into the heart of this deer and where it is, the deer drops to the ground. No arrow has struck it. And the body lays there until all of a sudden you see it decompose immediately. The skin, muscles, veins, organs all rot until it is just a pile of bones. And then plants consume that body until another deer comes along and the same thing happens. Dead, consume. Dead, consumed. And as you finally look up, what looked to be just part of the skyline and the stars shining through, you now see what looked like two massive eyes were looming in the background. And you hear from the voice coming from all around you, but you know that it's coming from this large bird.
This is your destiny. Embrace it. No more time can be spent. This is how all things come to be.
I'll see you guys next time.
Damn.
Just trying to have a good night's sleep. Damn it. Nightmares are prohibited in the dream house. Granted, we know. Hello there. This is Mark from the Dragon Punch Squad, here to let you in on a deal going on for all you loyal listeners out there. Greenleaf Geek is an excellent crafter within your favorite polyhedral shapes, and if you use the code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD, you get 10% off your next order of dice. A variety to choose from, with crisp edges and some fun ones like their perihedral shapes with that have little cats in the middle, or the Barbenheimer set. Again, use DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD during checkout for 10% off. See you next time.